Merry Christmas. Thank you. If you guys have your Bibles, if you open up to Luke chapter 2, if you don't have a Bible, no worries, we'll have it up on the screen. But before we begin, let's pray. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we thank you so much for this morning. It's cold today, but we thank you for it. I pray that this morning that you would speak to us, Lord, that through this message that you would bring hope and joy to each and every one of us here this morning. So I pray that you would open our hearts to hear what your Spirit has to say to us through your word, and that you would bless it. Bless your word this morning, Father, as we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you guys have your Bible, I said if you could open up to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to be reading today from Luke chapter 2, verse 4. And just to give you a little introduction about this, it's about 2,000 years ago in Israel. And Caesar was the ruler of that time. He decides that he wants to know how many people are in that territory. So he does a census. He makes it a law that regardless of where you are, you have to go from your hometown to, you have to go from wherever you are to your hometown to register. And it's a law. There are no exceptions. You know, wherever you are, you must go. And that's where we begin in Luke chapter 2, verse 4. In verse 4, it says, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child." So you see, so at this point, there's this law. Everybody has to go to their hometown. Now, Joseph and Mary must also go. But there's a problem for them. One problem is it's far. It would be the equivalent of walking from San Omiya, walking all the way down to Wakayama Station. That was the distance that they had to walk, which is pretty far. I mean, for me it is at least, a pretty far distance. But considering that Mary was pregnant, in the last stages of her pregnancy, that's a long distance to walk. So imagine walking that far pregnant. It probably took a few days. Now, it doesn't say in the text, but I believe that Joseph probably thought, okay, you know what? Let's go, and hopefully we'll be back before the baby's born. That's one of the things that I thought Joseph was probably thinking. Let's go. We'll walk there. It'll take a couple days. We'll register. Take a couple days to come back. And hopefully we'll make it back in time for the baby to be born. That was one of the things I thought Joseph was thinking. Another thing that I thought he was thinking was, okay, if we get there and something does happen and the baby is born, then we'll just find a place to stay. I'm sure there's going to be some place for us to stay. So by them going to Bethlehem, they're taking two risks. Risk number one is the baby is not going to be born. And number two, when they do get there, they're going to have a place to stay. And it's funny because when you teach this to like the younger generation, they say, well, why didn't he just like go online and make a hotel reservation? It's like, well, this was like 2,000 years ago. This was before the internet. Well, then why not just like use a cell phone and you know, make a reservation? This was before the cell phone. Well, why not use the regular house phone? No, this was before the regular house phone. Well, why not like write a letter to the hotel and say, hey, do you have a place available? It's like, but how would they have even known the address to the hotel? Right? There was no other way. What about fax? No fax. The only way was to go and hope that you were going to find a place to stay. So the big question right now is, will they make it back before the baby's born? Number one. Number two, will they find a place to stay? Verse 6. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. Now, if you or your wife were pregnant, those are not the words that you want to hear while you're traveling, especially by foot. They get to Bethlehem and the baby is born. Now, I imagine, just my own imagination, is they get to Bethlehem and she's like, It's like, whoa. It's okay. And I imagine Joseph as a husband at that time just had stress. Okay, what do we do? What are we going to do? Breathe. And before you knew it, the baby was born. Verse 7. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Now, from what we know, we don't actually know whether or not Jesus was born in the manger. We don't actually know that. It appears that perhaps he was, perhaps he wasn't. He was probably born maybe outside of the manger someplace. And then after that, they went into the manger. From the scripture, reading the different parts in the Bible, it's not really clear. But that's okay. So what I kind of imagine is that Jesus was born somewhere. Outside of the manger, somewhere. There's no blankets available. So they're just kind of getting whatever they have, you know, the towel from their bag or a t-shirt, and they wrap the baby up. And now they need to settle down. They need a place to settle down now because she just gave birth to a baby. So it appears that then they went to like different hotels, for example, or inns, and, you know, yes, hello, how may I help you? And, you know, they just had a baby that they just gave birth to. Yeah, do you have any rooms available tonight? Let's see here. I'm sorry, we're full tonight. You don't have anything available? Like, we'll pay a little extra, you know, anything's okay. I'm so sorry, we're full tonight. But actually, there's another place, there's a business hotel down the street. You want to go check it out? And they probably go to the next hotel and, excuse me, by any chance, do you have any rooms available for tonight? And I'm so sorry, we don't have anything available tonight. Nothing, like even something, a small room, anything. I am so sorry, but we're full. Oh, okay, thank you. So they go to all the different places, and every place is full. And now they need a place to like rest for the night. So I imagine that that's when they perhaps found the manger, like, Mary, what about this place? And, are you serious? Well, what else are we going to do? We went to all the hotels, all the inns. There's nothing. Shogunai. Okay. And they go into the manger because there's no other place for them to stay. Now, this is where it gets exciting now. Because as Joseph, Mary, and the baby are in the manger, notice what is about to happen at a field close by. This is what I think is a funny part. Verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. So you have to understand, this is happening at the same time Joseph and Mary and the baby are in the manger. There are these shepherds. They're out in the fields. It's night. It's dark. Probably super dark. You know, sheep don't talk, so it's super quiet. Super quiet. And the shepherds, remember, they're watching the flock. So these guys are watching out for wolves, bears, lions. So every time they heard, what's that? What's that? And they heard the leaves shake. Quiet. Dark. And these guys are on alert. For every sound that they could hear, they're just listening. And notice what happens next. Verse 9. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I love this part so much. I think it's so funny. I love the word terrified. A great word. But it's interesting because what I want to know, how did the angel appear to them? Did the angel just like say, hey! All the kids looked right now. You know, or was the angel just kind of like standing there and like, you know what I mean? Like, or did the angel like walk up to them? How did the angel appear to them is what I want to know. You know, because like I said, these guys were very listening for every noise, and all of a sudden, boom, angel. I mean, if you were an angel and God gave you a task, you have to go appear to someone. How would you do it? How would you appear to them, like, in their living room? Would you just, like, say, pah. I mean, or would you just kind of, like, stand there, and then when they turned around, and they'd be like, whoa! I mean, it would be kind of fun. If I were the angel, every day I would appear to somebody a different way. Even like my son sometimes will be in his room and he'll be writing something or drawing and he's focused on something. And I'll walk up behind my son super quiet and just stand there. And then he'll be like, whoa, Dad, you scared me, Dad. Don't do that. And it's so funny. So funny. So here are these shepherds, they're out on the field, it's super quiet, and all of a sudden, boom, an angel, and the light, it says that the glory of the Lord was just shining on them, this light. And these guys were terrified. I love it. Verse 10. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Right? Because you guys just calm down. Calm down, guys. Calm down. Because I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. This is a wonderful verse here. Because the angel is not saying, I'm going to give you good news. That's not what he's saying. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. That's what he is saying. He's not saying, I'm going to give you news. He's saying, I'm going to give you good news. Right? He is not saying that this good news will give you joy. He is saying, this good news will give you great joy. And he's not saying that this news is going to cause great joy for some people, but he's saying it's going to cause great joy for all people. And now remember, the angel is not saying that this good news is going to bring happiness, because happiness is different from joy, right? One sec. One thing that I actually love about this too is that the angel is saying great joy. Now the word great in the Greek is megas, right? So it's megas joy in the Greek language. It's where in English we get the word mega. Mega. You know, years ago, McDonald's made a cheeseburger. Alright, they made the cheeseburger. It was bread, meat, bread. The cheeseburger. Pretty good. Then they made the double cheeseburger. It was bread, meat, and bread. That's better. I like it. Then they made the Big Mac. Bread, meat, bread, meat, bread. Oh, wonderful. And then about 10 years ago in Japan, they made the Mega Mac. That's what it was called. Mega Mac. And there was a poster of it. And it was bread, meat, meat, bread, meat, meat, bread. The Mega Mac. And it was like, wow, that is so mega. There were posters around Osaka advertising the Mega Mac is coming, you know, soon. And I was like, wow, it's coming soon. And one of my friends one day, on the first day it came out, he said, I had the Mega Mac for lunch. Like, wow, how was it? Whew, it was mega. It's mega. That's where we get, you know, mega joy. The angel is saying that this good news that I'm about to tell you is going to bring you mega joy. Now, think about it. What could possibly bring mega joy to all people in the world? What could possibly do that? Could it be that the tax in Japan will not increase next year? Could that be the news? Well, that would be good news. I would be happy, but I don't think I would have joy over it. And I think that if there were a man living in Italy in a small country town, he probably wouldn't care, right? If the tax in Japan didn't go up again. What if the price of Yoshinoya decreased? Because recently it increased. You guys know that? Recently the price of Yoshinoya increased, right? What if the price of Yoshinoya decreased? Would that bring mega joy? Well, I would be happy, but I don't think I would have joy. What could possibly cause mega joy for all people, not just in Europe, not just in the Western countries, but in Japan and Asia and all of the countries in the world? What could possibly cause mega joy? The answer is verse 11. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This is the news that will cause mega joy for everybody around the world. Now, it's interesting because it says here that a Savior has been born to you. Now, what does the word you mean? What does it mean, you? Well, it means you, me. That's what it means. So perhaps you're here this morning and you're saying, I'm a Buddhist. I was raised a Buddhist my whole life. The angel is saying the Savior has been born for you. If you're saying, I don't believe anything. I don't believe that there is a God. I don't believe anything. The Savior is saying, this angel, I mean, the angel is saying, the Savior has been born for you. If you're saying, I'm only 13 years old, I don't know what you're talking about, the angel is saying, the Savior has been born for you. You know, years ago, I was in Hamamatsu, Japan. And I met this guy, like a real tough guy. And we sat down and I had the chance to share the gospel with him. I told him about, you know, God, how God forgives sin, and he got really angry. He got super angry and he stood up. He stood up and he walked out the door. And before he walked out the door, he looked at me and he said to me with just a mean face, "You don't know what I have done." And I was scared. I'm like, "Ooh." And he's right. I don't know what he has done. I have no idea what he's done. But I don't need to know. The main point is that, as the angel says, a Savior has been born for you. You know, if I were the shepherd, and the angel told me, today, in the next town, a Savior's been born for you, and this Savior is going to cause mega joy for everyone around the world, my question would be, who is this baby? I want to meet this baby. But where is the baby? What's the address? What's the baby's name? How am I going to find this baby? Am I supposed to go to every house and, like, knock on the door? Excuse me. Yes. Is there a baby here? Yes. Why? Can I see it? Because I want to see if that's the baby that's supposed to bring us mega joy. They'd be like, close the door, right? Or imagine if you went to the hospital. You went to the hospital. How many babies were born today? Like 50? Why? Because I want to see them, because one of them is supposed to be this baby that's supposed to cause mega joy. The nurses would be like, security. So the question is, how are the shepherds supposed to find the baby? Think about it. How are they supposed to find the baby? So now, the angel is going to put them on, for lack of a better word, like a hunt. You're going to go find the baby now. But they need a hint. And the angel, being the kind angel that he is going to give them the hint. So what is the hint? Verse 12, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Okay, this is a good hint. Now, this is a good hint. They still have a difficult task. Because now they know, okay, we're not going to go to the hospitals to find the baby. We're not going to go house to house to find the baby. All we have to do is go to the mangers. Look in every manger and find a baby that's wrapped in cloths. So I imagine that now, as these guys are planning out their strategy, okay guys, let's go to Bethlehem now and let's go find the baby. Just as they're thinking that, notice what happens in verse 13. "Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" I love the word "suddenly." Because one moment, these shepherds are on the field, it's quiet. All of a sudden, one angel, boom! All of a sudden, the light's shining. They're scared. The angel gives them a message. They calm down. Then suddenly, there's like thousands of angels there praising God. And I want to know, like, what did it look like? Thousands of angels there, like, praising God? I mean, were they singing? Were they like, were the angels singing like, you know, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests, right? Or were they rapping, right? Maybe they were rapping, you know, like glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace, right? Were they rapping? Was it like maybe, I think that maybe they had like two, they had like one team of angels over here and like one team of angels over here. And like these angels were saying like, you know, shouting, glory to God in the highest heaven. Then these angels would say, and on earth peace to whom his favor rests. I mean, how were they doing this? Because the shepherds were just like watching it like so surprised. So one moment it's quiet. The next moment there's one angel. The next moment there's light. The next moment there's thousands of angels singing. And then the next moment, notice what happens. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven. This is so funny. Because like one moment, it's everybody's, all the angels are gone. Like quiet, one angel, light, a message, thousands of angels singing. Next moment, it's quiet again. How, what I want to know too is, how did the angels leave? Did the angels, were they kind of like marching out like, okay guys, see you guys, and did they disappear? Did they just disappear? Did they like fly away? I mean, how did it happen? Right? But one moment, it was like, it's quiet again. Quiet. Shh. Super quiet. The shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. So the shepherds said, you know what? Let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go check every manger and let's find this baby. So I imagine that they're like, okay, let's go. And so, okay, you guys take those measures and we're going to look in these measures. If you see the baby, tell us. So they went to all the measures. Baby, no baby. Baby, no baby. Okay, next one. And they go to the next one. Baby, no baby. Baby, no baby. And I imagine that in that process, they probably scared a couple people, like baby, and like the farmer was like, whoa. What do you mean, baby? Is there a baby in here? We're looking for a baby. There's no baby in here. What are you talking about? And I imagine that people were kind of like, what are those shepherds up to looking for a baby, right? And I imagine that people probably started following the shepherds. Like, what are those guys up to, right? All of a sudden, they get to one. Boom. And Mary and Joseph and the baby were probably like, whoa. And they found the baby, just like the angel said, wrapped in cloths. And they were probably like, hey, you know, this is going to sound crazy, but we were just out on the field tonight. We were out on the field tonight, and this angel appeared to us. He told us that there was going to be a baby that was going to cause mega joy for all people in the world. He told us that the baby was going to be in a manger, wrapped in cloths, just like this. Right now. Just like this right now. Next verse. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. So it says right there, all who heard it. So which makes me believe that other people were kind of like following the shepherds. Like, what are these guys up to? Then when they get to the manger, the shepherds are telling them about the angel and everything that was happening, and everyone was segoine. Right? Everyone was very amazed at that. Verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. You know, it's interesting because I imagine then, you know, the shepherds met the baby. They met the baby. Then the shepherds leave and they probably went back home. And their wives are probably cooking. You know, how was your day today? This is going to sound crazy. But we were out on the field. An angel appeared to us. We were so scared. Then there were thousands of angels and they told us there was going to be a baby born today that was going to give us mega joy. And the wife was probably thinking, mega joy? Why do we need mega joy? We're happy. Tonight we're going to have sukiyaki. We just got a bonus from the company. We're happy. No, you don't understand. This mega joy is different from happiness. It's different. And so the question is right now, who is this baby? Because until now, we haven't heard the name yet. The question is, who is this baby? Verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. So who is this baby that was born 2,000 years ago that was going to bring mega joy to the whole world? His name is Jesus. And he's here to bring mega joy for all people, for rich, for poor. If somebody comes from a good family, somebody comes from a bad family, somebody comes from the mafia, this baby is here to bring mega joy for all people. So with that in mind, let's pray. Dear Lord God, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for sending Jesus, Lord, 2,000 years ago to be born, to bring mega joy into this world. Lord, I pray for all of us, for non-believers and even Christians here today, Lord, that we would experience that mega joy today. That we would remember the true meaning of Christmas, Lord. The true meaning of Christmas, Lord, that mega joy. So Father, Lord, today I pray for everyone in here, for the small children all the way up, that we would all have a taste of that today, Lord. Please, we beg of you, Lord, bless us. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.